No excuse.
First Sunday I could sleep in 9 months.
Okay. So we're here on Daf Yud Aleph on the Beis. We're still struggling here to turn to Daf Yud Beis, but we still have to organize ourselves. So we started yesterday. Let's review with Tana Rabbanan, which is about one third or more down from the top. So it's below Tosfos Dibur Maaseh Ma'ariv Mes Hashana El Yehuda. So you'll see two dots, and the line starts with the word Talsin, and we had a Brisa which enumerates three basic fundamental reasons why we ma'abra the Shana, ala Aviv, val Perasa Ilan, v'alat Kufa. And we were working pretty hard yesterday to try to decipher exactly what these three categories are. Now, Rashi, Dibra Maskal Aviv, quotes the pasuk Ubachodesh Bachodesh Aviv. That pasuk indicates that the holiday of Pesach has to be in an agricultural season, which is called the Aviv. And what's unique about the Aviv is that at that time of the year, the crops grow and they mature. Rashi says in Lo Bishlatvua, we have a problem here that it's already close to Pesach and we don't have enough time for the crops to mature before Pesach, which means that we're not in the Aviv, because Aviv is now defined by the produce. In other words, this season called the spring is indicative of the fact that the rains over the winter months have fallen, the water is saturated below the ground, and now the roots have enough moisture to produce what they have to produce. And after the summer, after the winter passes and all these rains have fallen, now the weather's changing and we have a lot more sun, and the grains will mature. Rashi does not mention a word here about the Omer. Then Rashi quotes Is de Mefarshim, and they interpret that the problem with the Aviv is not the problem of Pesach, but rather the problem of the Omer, which means that if the crops have not matured, then we don't have a place from which we can take the Omer. Now the Omer has to be brought on the 16th of Nisan, and that's going to be Matir, it's going to permit all the Chadash, the new crop, and we don't have possibility of bringing the Omer. And therefore, if we add another month to the year, then we'll have, before Tezayin B'Nisan, we'll have enough a growing crop in order to bring the Omer. So Rashi rejects this because the Gemara is going to tell us later that if two out of the three of the segments of Eretz Yisrael have a problem of Aviv, which means that the crops have not matured, then we're going to be Ma'abra the Shana. And the Brisa doesn't specify which of the two out of the three. It could be any two out of the three. So let's say, for example, if in Golil and in Eivar Yarden there is a situation in which the crops have not ripened, that is reason to be Ma'abra the Shana. If you're going to tell me that the reason for Chodesh Aviv, a reason for Aviv, is because we don't have a place to take the Omer, we'll take the Omer from where?
Yehuda.
From Yehuda. So therefore Rashi rejects this pshat. And now we go back to Rashi's own pshat, which is that Aviv means that we need that the crops grow and be mature in the field before Pesach time. Because Pesach time, the Torah says, the Torah specifies, has to be during Chodesh HaAviv. Now, I'm going to skip Perasa Ilan for a moment. That's sort of, in a sense, the simplest of the three. And let's fast forward to Tekufa. Now, Let's see what the problem is here. We have a real serious problem, because we've already established with the first of these three reasons that we must guarantee that Pesach is B'chodesh HaAviv. And if the crops have not matured, then we don't have Aviv, hence we don't have possibility of celebrating Pesach in its time. Now we have Tkufa. Tkufa would seem to be the exact same thing. What do I mean? Tkufa means that there's some discrepancy, bless you, between the seasons of the year and the Hebrew calendar dates when the holidays have to be celebrated at certain seasons. So again, as far as the lunar calendar is concerned, you know, the months move on, the days go day by day, and the calendar increases, right, with every day. But yet the Torah has set up these holidays which have to coincide with certain tkufas, with certain periods of time. Now those periods of time are determined by the solar calendar. Now there's going to be now a discrepancy where the tkufos do not line up with the lunar calendar. Right. So again, Rabbi will say, what's happening here is that the Torah determines that the moed has to fulfill two different variables. Number one, it has to be on a set date in the Hebrew calendar, that's the lunar calendar, but at the same time, it's got to fall within certain tkufos. So we'll see, for example, that in the case of Pesach, we need what's called tkufas Nisan, which has to do with the seasons of the year and has to do with the sun, the solar calendar. So let's say, for example, the tkufa right before tkufas Nisan is called tkufas Teves. If tkufas Teves, in terms of its relationship to the lunar calendar, is mitacheret umitmashechet, so now what's happening is that Pesach is going to turn out to be during Tkufas Teves instead of during Tkufas Nisan. Then that has to be crystal clear to us. I mean, I thought about this a long time yesterday, and that's what dawned upon me. That what's happening is, because of the relationship between the Tkufos, which are determined by the solar calendar, and the days and the calendar of the month, the days and the months, which are determined in the Hebrew calendar by the lunar calendar, there's going to be a discrepancy, so that the seasons which are determined by the sun are not necessarily aligned with the Hebrew calendar, which is a lunar calendar. That itself wouldn't bother me. So what? Who cares? Let the tkufas go according to the sun, and that's a physical, you know, astronomical reality. But why does it bother me? What bothers me is because the Torah says that the moedos have to be during certain specific tkufas. And Rashi points out the following, that we're going to have a problem here, tkufas, with Sukkot. We're going to have a problem with Pesach. Let's go through the two problems. I'm going to start with the second one first, simply because it's a little easier for me. The Torah determines, and this is going to be a sugya later on in Daf Yud Gimel, that Chag HaPesach has to be observed during Tkufas Nisan. Now, if there's a discrepancy between the Tkufos and the calendar of the lunar calendar of the Hebrew calendar, then what's going to happen is, if the Tkufas Teves, which we call the winter, right, the winter Tkufa, is going to, in its relationship to the solar calendar, to the lunar calendar, is going to be misacheres umismasheches, so then it's going to turn out that it's on a later date in the lunar calendar than it normally would be because of this discrepancy, and as a result, Pesach is going to be observed during Tkufas Teves. That can't be, because the Gemara is going to darshan later on Daf Yud Gimel, that Pesach has to fall out and has to be observed during Tkufas Nisan. So what are we going to have to do over here in order to realign this, so to make sure that Pesach is going to fall out in the Tkufas Nisan? What we're going to have to do is we're going to have to push off Pesach. What do you mean push off Pesach? How can you push off Pesach? Exactly. So that's Ibra Shana. So by Ibra Shana, we now are realigning it in such a way that Pesach is going to fall out during Tkufas Nisan. Now, we're not out in the clear yet, because what's the difference now between Aviv and Tkufa? What do I mean? We just said that the Torah defines the holiday of Pesach as Chodesh HaAviv. And Chodesh HaAviv is defined by the agricultural impact of the spring, which means that the Tvua is now ripening in the field. Well, guess what? The Tvua is not ripening in the field, so it's premature to celebrate Pesach. Isn't that more or less, I added more or less just because I want to defend myself, but more or less the same as Tkufa? Why? Because what you're telling me is that Pesach is coming out too early this year. Why? Because the Torah defines Chodesh HaAviv. Well, that's exactly what's going to happen in the case of Tkufa. That Pesach is going to happen in Tkufas Teves instead of in Tkufas Nisan. So you're back to square one. Now, the answer to this, in a mechanical way, again, I'm not talking conceptually, but mechanically, is that the Gemara has two different psukim. The term Aviv appears not once but twice. Once is in Sefer Shmos, which is the Rashi that we have here, Dibur Maskal Aviv, and then the Torah repeats itself in Sefer Dvarim. And the Gemara on Daf Yud Gimel is focused on the pasuk in Sefer Dvarim, and the Gemara derives from that pasuk of Aviv that the Tkufa for the holiday of Pesach has to be Tkufas Nisan. Rashi here, Divrei Maskal ala Aviv, is quoting the pasuk in Parshas Bo, which defines Pesach as falling out during a certain agricultural season. Do you follow the difference? In other words, Tkufa, again, it certainly has an impact on these seasons, I'm not denying that, but Tkufa is a certain calendar date. And that calendar date, well, what is the Tkufas Nisan in the secular calendar? March 20th. So March 20th is the earliest time for Chag HaPesach. Now forget about the agricultural situation. For example, you can have a rainy season which is going to particularly delay the ripening of the grains. You could have a season where there's more sun and a little bit less rain during Teves and so forth and so on, and maybe the crops will ripen a little earlier. So what I'm suggesting is the following, that there's one halacha in terms of the season as an agricultural season and the way it impacts on the growth and the maturation of the produce, and then there's another season which is defined by the Tkufos, and that is a definite calendar date in the solar calendar. What do we say, March 21st?
March 20th.
March 20th. Okay, so let's say March 20th. If it means that Pesach, which is the 15th of Nisan, must come out after March 20th. So we're going to need an extra month to guarantee that, because if the Tkufas Teves is Misacheres, again, it's all relative. You know, when we say Tkufas Teves is Macheres, that's a very dangerous kind of phrase. What do you mean Tkufas Teves is Macheres? That's a joke. The Tkufas are set. Right, that's the solar calendar. You know, we can't tamper with that. That's not going to change. But when we say Misacheres, it means relative, vis-a-vis the Hebrew calendar, it becomes a longer Tkufas Teves, which means that Pesach is now falling before March 20th. That's a problem called Tkufa. And that's going to be a separate drasha based on a pasuk in Dvarim. The Aviv situation is also halach in Pesach, but there the halach is not because of a certain calendar date, which we call Tkufas Nisan, which is March 20th, not because Pesach has to come after March 20th, but because Pesach has to be during Chodesh HaAviv, which is a pasuk in Shmos, and we derive from that pasuk in Shmos a certain agricultural impact, which again may be a function of various different elements and causes and so forth and so on, that may or may not coincide with Kufa. So you may have a situation where even before the Tkufa, it's already called Chodesh Aviv. You may have a situation where even after the Tkufa, it's not yet Chodesh Aviv. Why? Because there are other factors that may come into play over here. So the Aviv, the barometer for Aviv, how do I know if it's Chodesh Aviv? From the Pasuk in Shmos.
2 out of 3.
I go out. No, I'm asking. I'm up to Pesach now. And I know that Pesach has to be B'chodesh Aviv, right? So how do I know if I have a problem or I don't have a problem?
Regular crops.
I go out to the crops. I go out and I become a farmer. I ask the farmer, tell me what's happening out there in the field.
But what happens if you know that's
true? The answer is not going to lie in what is the calendar date.
My question is, what happens if you know that Tekufa is going to be before the March 20th Nisan cutoff? Then, regardless of the crops, you would add the second Adar.
Exactly.
And you don't have to wait till Pesach.
Exactly. Now here you have a problem. And this problem I'm not yet ready to solve. I think that Rav Shimon Gamliel maybe is trying to address this problem. I'm not sure. And that is, why do we need 2 out of 3? Right, that's the next line in the Gemara. Let's take a look. Al shnayim mehem ma'avrim, val echad mehem ein ma'avrim. So let's say, for example, we have a problem of Aviv. Why isn't that in and of itself enough to require what? And maybe what we're going to talk about here is that Aviv is a very iffy kind of thing. Why? Because you go out to the fields and you ask yourself if the crops have grown, and guess what? I look in Yehuda, I come to one conclusion. I go up to Galil, I come to another conclusion. I cross over to the eastern side of the Jordan, I come to another conclusion. In other words,
certainly to Kufa.
Kufa by itself is set. And that's going to be the problem. And that's what I think, maybe, if you take a look at the next piece of Gemara, Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer. Right, so again, we're saying that we need Shnayim Mehem, Ve'alechem Hem Ein Ma'avrim. Ein Ma'avrim. Again, I'm skipping the Gemara Simcha for a moment. We'll come back to that in just a minute. But Rav Shimon Gamliel says, Alat Kufa. And although Gemara vacillates what that means, as if he's referring to the Simcha business that we had before, but one side in the Gemara was to say that, ala tkufa ma'avrim, which means that tkufa itself, by definition, is sufficient cause for Ibur Shana. And honestly, I don't know the counter-argument to Rav Shimon Gamliel. I don't know what the other side was. Why does Gemara insist, no, Tkufa is not enough. I need Tkufa plus one, whether it's Aviv or Peres or Elan. I don't know the answer to that question right now. The Ad Ramah is going to try to address that question, and I'm not sure what his answer is. There's the Sanhedrin Ketana that we mentioned yesterday. But above and beyond that, if we can buy in to the second interpretation of Shimon Gamliel, then our problem is solved. Tkufa is an automatic Ibur Hashana. Why? Because the Torah says that Pesach has to fall out in the Tkufas Nisan, which means it has to come out after March 20th. If it comes out before March 20th, I have a problem. I have to add another month to delay Pesach so that it falls out during Tkufas Nisan.
That, by the way, that works. The earliest Pesach you can have is March 25th.
Is March 25th. That's with Ibur Shana or without Ibur Shana? I'm hoping that's only after Ibur Shana.
in the Luach.
Even without Ibur Shana?
In the Luach.
Oh, the Luach, which is built in with Ibur Shana.
Built in with Luach.
That's good.
The earliest
Excellent.
Ever falls is March 25th.
March, how do you know that?
I looked it up.
But where do you find it? I mean, how do they know?
You have to calculate. It's not easy to. You have to calculate over hundreds of years.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. I wouldn't even. Is there a site for that? Or like
different people do those calculations.
Okay, I'm excited about that. You know, the earliest time for Pesach in history is going to be March 25th.
Was it 2 years ago? I'm going to have like the earliest Hanukkah.
Right.
It's not going to happen again for 200 and some odd years when it was November 20-something
or
7th, 8th,
whatever. Okay, all right, you gentlemen are way far ahead of me. But I just want to say that the reason why, Joseph, I think, again, this is all tentative, we say with limited liability, is the reason that's so is because of Ibur Shana. That's Pashut to me. our whole sugya of Ibur Shana in terms of Tkufa is because of this off-kilter kind of situation where the Tkufas did not reflect the lunar calendar. And therefore Pesach, which is supposed to fall out on the 6th, on the 15th of Nisan, is falling out before March 20th. And you're telling me that can't be. The reason that can't be is because of Ibur Shana. So the genius of setting up a calendar is to figure out how you can build in the Ibur Shana in such a way that you guarantee the Pesach will never fall out before March 25th. But again, why shouldn't Tkufa alone be a reason to justify Ibur Shana? That I don't have an answer to, but I think at least I have a, you know, Chatzi Nechama, because I think at least one shot Rav Shimon Gamaliel would say so. Now, we're not finished with Tkufa yet, because Rashi says that Tkufa is a problem for Tishrei as well. So let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi Dibra Maskel Al Tkufa. And the second part of the Rashi is Bein Al Tkufas Teves. Right, that's what we discussed until now. I have a problem with that Rashi too, because Rashi introduces the Omer, which I'm not sure why, but again, we have to see the Sugya on Daf Yud Gimel, and the Gemara Daf Yud Gimel is going to derive that we need Tkufa. We need Tkufas Nisan for Pesach because of the Omer. Again, that has to be taken under advice. But the first half of Rashi is Tkufas Tamuz Misakeves Umismasheches. So I wrote myself a note. Just I'll read to you the note so I don't make any mistakes. And I wanted to say the following. Sukkos should not be too early. So again, Tkufas Tishrei, let's go over it once again, is what, is September 20th, you said?
Yeah.
21st?
Or 22nd.
Oh, it varies? It's either...
I don't know whether it's a leap year.
Oh, so it's either the 21st or the 22nd? All right, so that's going to complicate matters, but let's just, if you don't mind, just for simplicity, let's call it September 22nd. I don't know, just choosing a date. Oh, so Sukkos should not be too early. Should not be too early. Why?
Because
the Rashi Dibra Maskevel at Kufa. But we're doing the first half of Rashi. Now, till now, I've been focusing on Tkufas Nisan, which is the second half of Rashi. Now we're focusing on Tkufas Tishrei. Okay, now we said that Tkufas Tishrei is September 22nd, okay? So now what's happening? Rashi quotes a Gemara on Daf Yud Gimel that's going to derive from a Pasuk that at least part of Sukkos, right, in the beginning part of Sukkos, again, I don't know how much of Sukkos, but one part of Sukkos has to come before Tkufas Tishrei. That means before September 22nd. Now, if you can research that for me...
The earliest Sukkos can ever be is September 20th.
September 20th is the earliest. So, by definition, it's always before Tkufas Tishrei. And again...
That one day of Chol Hamoed that's in...
One day of Chol Hamoed.
Several days, actually.
Okay. So, again, this is because of Ibur Shana. What was the problem that generated Ibur Shana? The problem is that if Tkufas Tishrei, because it's right, it's off kilter from the lunar months, would coincide. Just 1 second. So now Tkufas Tishrei is the 22nd of Tishrei. I'm sorry. It's funny because the number 22 here has two different meanings. It's a little, you know, don't get confused. This is purely coincidental. Sukkos is 7 days, correct? So if Sukkos is 7 days, right? That means
22
that means the 22nd of Tishrei, right? Because Sukkos is on the 15th of Tishrei, and Sukkos is going to end on the 22nd of Tishrei. Now, let's say the 22nd of Tishrei is the 22nd of September, or any day beyond that. Then it comes out that Sukkos is too early, because what I need is that Sukkos. Let me say it to you in a simpler way. Sukkos has to take place. Just 1 second. if Sukkis will fall out.
22 T-shirts.
Just give me a second, because I'll tell you, these kind of things, I hold like Plato. If you read Plato's Republic, if you don't figure it out yourself, no one's going to be able to teach it to you. Have you read Plato's Republic? I mean, there's certain things in basic arithmetic which they can hack you from now until doomsday, you'll never chop it. Just one second, I had it before, and I'll get it. Just one second. So again, what's the problem is now is that Sukkis is what is Sukkis is coming out to. Sukkis has to be before this the 22nd of what? Of September. And now what's happening is that Kufas Tammuz is Misacheres u Misam Sheches. So then it's going to come out that Sukkis is going to be what? Is going to be too early. I'm just going to read my own notes that I wrote today. If Tkufas Tishrei would coincide the 22nd of Tishrei, so that's September's 22nd and the 22nd of Tishrei, then all of Sukkis fell out in Tkufas Tammuz. Why? Because now the entire... Right. Because Tkufas Tammuz ends on the 22nd Tkufas Tammuz ends on the 22nd of September. If the entire Sukkis, up until and including the 22nd of Tishrei, right, would fall out before September 22nd, then it turns out that all of Sukkis is in Tkufas Tammuz. Okay, I think I got it now. I'm sorry. You have to bear with me, Rav Osler.
You mark it one day over the.
So in other words, let's just try to understand why do we need Ibrus Shana? What is the problem? That's what we're trying to figure out. The problem is that if, again, this is all in a relativity theory. If the Tkufos are Misachros, which means that in relationship to the lunar calendar, they are stretching too late. Again, nothing's happening to the Tkufas, as I emphasize a million times, but what's happening is because the lunar calendar is lagging behind, so what's happening is that the lunar calendar has the entire Sukkis before Tkufas Tishrei, before the 22nd of September. So the last day of Sukkis fell, let's say, on the 21st of September, just giving you an idea, correct? So what's happening is that all of Sukkis now coincides with Tkufas Tammuz. That's no good. Why? Because the Gemara is going to derive later on from a pasuk that Sukkis has to be during Tkufas, or at least part of Sukkis has to be during Tkufas Tishrei, not during Tkufas Tammuz. So let's read the Rashi inside. He says, Ubit Tkufa Bein al Tkufas Tammuz Shemis Akeves Vinim Sheches. Again, you have to add the word relativity theory here. She'ein Tkufas Tishrei Nofeles ad Ibrach HaChag. Now, Ibrach HaChag is going to be the 22nd of Tishrei, correct? Because Ibrach HaChag means the passing of the Chag, like Miloshen Avar, or the entire pregnancy and the birth took place. So now we have a problem. Why? Because if the 22nd of September falls out after the 22nd of Tishrei, for example. So it means that all of Sukkis fell out before the beginning of Tkufas Tishrei, which means that all of Sukkis took place during Tkufas Tammuz. So then in that sense, you could describe Tkufas Tammuz as Misakeves V'nim Sheches. I mean, it's dragging along, so to speak, because had it ended earlier, it would have been great, because then Tkufas Tishrei would have taken over, as far as Sukkis is concerned. We need Tkufas Tishrei for Sukkis, just like we said that we need Tkufas Nisan for Pesach, we need Tkufas Tishrei for Sukkis.
So it has to fall in Tishrei at least one day?
Correct. And Tkufas Tishrei starts on September 22nd, which is a date in the solar calendar. That's the day of the Tkufa. And if that's the day of the Tkufa, well, you've got to have part of Sukkis there. Now, if you just ended your Sukkis and you didn't even get to the Tkufa yet, you didn't get to the 22nd of September, then that's not Sukkis. And you got a serious problem. Now, by adding an extra month to the lunar calendar. So what you've done is you've guaranteed that Sukkot will take place much later. And if Sukkot will take much later, it's going to definitely begin after Tkufas Tishrei, which means that the that Sukkot will never begin before what do we say? September. What was the date?
The earliest Sukkot can be September 20th.
20th, right. Before the 20th. Okay, so there'll definitely be an overlap of Sukkot into Tkufas Tishrei. That's what we have over here.
Sure.
Now again, we're still left with the following problem, which again I can't solve for you right now. I'm working on this myself. Why isn't Tkufa in and of itself a justification for Ibra Shana? Because otherwise we're stuck without Pesach. In the case of Tkufas Teves being Mesacheres, and we're stuck without Sukkot in the case of Tkufas Tammuz being Mesacheres. So then we're stuck without Sukkot. I don't understand why that itself, in and of itself, should not justify Ibra Shana. That's what they're going to try to deal with here. I don't know the answer yet, but
he'll it would seem like we're Paschal now, right? Katan, when he set up the Luach Kavua, he set it up so that it works that way. Even
correct, but again, you don't know if he's not considering that there are, you know, the other agricultural factors that somehow are related to Tkufa. But
on a Luach Kavua, how can you ever do a Luach Kavua?
Yeah, no, I admit it, I agree with you 100%, but I'm just saying that it could be that Hillel.
According to this Gemara, how could he ever be Masak in a Luach Kavua for thousands of years? You can't know what the Tvua is going to be in Yehuda
right.
and Galilee.
Right, but I guess you can assume in maybe Rove, you know, in most cases, if the Tkufa is coming out too early, then the crops won't grow. I don't know. Again, there are a million and one questions here. The trouble with the sugya is you've got to know everything to know anything, and we're only at the beginning of the sugya.
Rabbi Berson, just one little point. The Pesach, the wool on Pesach has to be in Tkufas Nisan.
Right.
That's all of Pesach? Or the same?
I don't know. I didn't get a chance to research that. So again, Rabbi Berson, there are two problems here, one of which I think we can solve, the other I can't solve yet. One problem is to just differentiate between what's called Aviv and what's called Tkufa, because again, Rashi invokes with regard to Tkufa the issue of Pesach. Well, once you do so, then you've more or less repeated Allah Aviv. But the answer is that Allah Aviv has to do with agricultural factors, and that's when the Torah defines Aviv. And then we have another halacha which is related to the Tkufos. That problem I think we could solve. There are a number of other problems that we haven't yet solved. One is why Tkufa in and of itself is not sufficient grounds for Ibur. And then I have a problem here with Rashi about Omer. But again, that problem that I have with Rashi about the Omer, that's only a problem of ignorance, pure ignorance. Meaning, I don't have a Lunda Shikashi here. It's just I simply don't know, you know, why and how Rashi derived the conclusion that Tkufas Nisan for Chag HaPesach is Aloch in the Omer. That we have to wait until we get to Daf Yud Gimel to understand that. Now, the only thing I skipped here is Peros HaIlon. So here's where Rashi introduces Chag HaShavuos, and Rashi introduces an element called Tircha. Tircha means that we're going to have to schlep the people from the four corners of Eretz Yisrael twice. They'll have to make Aliyah L'Regel for the mitzvah of Sholosh V'Golim, in this case Atzeres, which is Chag HaShavuos. But on the other hand, we have a problem because they have to bring their Bikurim, their first crop, you know, the fruits, to Yerushalayim. Well, if the fruits are mature and ripen, then it makes sense. You cut them off the tree and you bring the first fruit to Yerushalayim. And then the Mishnayos that describe the whole pomp and ceremony of this ritual of bringing the Bikurim to Yerushalayim in a tenet and with the singing and the dancing and everything else. But if the Peros HaIlon have not ripened yet and it's already time for Chag HaShavuos, then we're going to have to schlep the people a second time around. Okay, now we talk about Simcha. What is Simcha here in this sugya? So it says the following: Ubizman she'aviv echad mehem. So we have three factors, and we need two out of three. So the Brisa establishes that if we have Aviv, and we can check that one off, together with another one of the factors, whether it be Tvua, which is called, I mean, Peres Elon, or Tkufa, then Hakol Smechem. So Rashi explains that Hakol Smechem means that if the decision is made to add a month, let's call it either Beis, then will that be good for the Jews or bad for the Jews? Well, that depends upon whether the fruits have matured or haven't matured. What do I mean is the following. If the fruits have not yet matured, let's say in the case of Aviv, we're talking about not about fruits, but we're talking about grains, then everybody's going to be happy about that, right? Why? Because no one is about to eat these grains because they're not ripened yet. And at the same time, the grains are not going to spoil, and we're going to delay the whole process of the Omer, which is going to be Matir Chadash, until a month later. By postponing Omer, you'll give a chance, an opportunity for the grains to mature. But let's flip it around the other way. Let's see when the people are not so happy. It's not so good for the Jews. And that's going to be the case where you don't have Aviv, which means that the Aviv has already come, and you haven't added a month of Adar yet. And at this point, if you have already Aviv, which means that the agricultural conditions are such that the grains have matured, now's the time for Pesach. Now's the perfect moment for bringing the Omer to be Matir the Chodesh. But it's not going to be good if we postpone this by a month because of other considerations like Peres Elon and Tkufa. Because if we're already in Aviv, what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to store all your grains for a month, waiting until you're allowed to eat them, and that's going to be a month later after you add the Adar. We bring the Omer on the 16th of Nisan. And in the meantime, again, I'm just adding this. I hope I'm not misleading anybody here. In the meantime, the crops are going to dry up. You know, they don't remain fresh forever. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer al Atkufa, Iboilehu al Atkufa Smechem. So the first interpretation is that Rav Gamliel was referring to Simcha. And he says the following, that if Tkufa is one of the two reasons for Ibra Shana, then that's enough to generate Simcha. Why is that so? So the answer is as follows. Me'achar she'im ha'tkufa nofeles ketikuna u'ma'abrim es ha'shana b'shvil ha'tvuah v'ha'peros, if what we're going to do is we're going to add an extra month because the fruits, the grains are not ripened, so we don't have tkufa now, so then what's going to happen is that as a result of the extra month, we are postponing Sukkot by a month. And that's a problem, because now we're heavy into the winter season. Let's just imagine in our minds that in an Imiyar, let's say the Chagas Sukkot will get as late as December 1st. I'm just thinking out loud. Let's say a normal Sukkot would be, let's say, September 18th or so, correct? So now, and what's going to happen? You're going to add another month. So now, instead of September 18th, it's October 18th. All right, I don't know if that's a good example, because I'm not sure how cold and rainy it is. But in any event, you get the point. The point is that by delaying it, is the Ole Regel are going to get stuck in a downpour. Let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi says the following. Iboilu al atkufa smechim. Do you have it? It's before the wide lines. He says, Shema atkufa nofels ketikuna, betchilas tishrei, Veheim ha'abrim ha'shana b'shvil dvar ma'cherim, which means Aviv or Peres ha'ilan, v'dochim es ha'chag b'toch yimei ha'choref. We're going to postpone Sukkot into the into the winter months. Again, the tkufas are all fine. So everything, you know, everything is going well, and the seasons are very much aligned with the holidays. So we have tkufas Tishrei in its time, and therefore Sukkot will be in its time. So we as far as Sukkot is concerned, you know, it's going to happen on September 19th, September 20th, whatever the date is. That's fine. And we would not be Ma'abed the Shana. We're only hard-pressed to be Ma'abed the Shana because of the problem of Aviv and Peres HaElam, which is, let's say, a problem of, we'll call it Chag HaPesach, which has to be B'chodesh Aviv, or it's a problem of schlepping them back and forth for the Mitzvah Bikurim, for Atzeres. But now what we're losing out here is going to be Sukkot. Why are we losing out on Sukkot? Right, we're motivated here for Pesach and Shavuos, if you follow me. But as far as Sukkot is concerned, we're stuck in the cold, literally. Why are we stuck in the cold? Because the tkufa is very good, and therefore the proper dates for Sukkot will be in mid September or the second third of September. So we're okay as far as the winter is concerned. The winter is far down the line in the future. But now we were forced to be ma'arav the shana because of Pesach and Sukkot. Is therefore when we get, you know, when the calendar turns this way up to Sukkot, it's a full month later. Is nimtu. Only regal mitzvah v'gshon lefisha ha'itim holchem achat kufas achama. Right, in terms of the rains and so forth, that's going to be determined by the sun. So now we have the sun, which is still, let's say, strong, you know, after tkufas tamuz, but at the beginning of tkufas tishrei. So the sun is strong, so we don't have that much rain. And when do the rains start falling? Usually in Cheshvan time, right? So it's a little bit later on, in October, November. And lefichach, kishahi tzricha la'abra al peres ha'ilan, v'zemit starf ima yasmich. Ah, but if on the other hand, you have a combination of tkufa together with one of the others, again, because now the Gemara is assuming that even according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, tkufa alone, in and of itself, would not be enough for some unknown reason to us to force our hands for the Iver Shadda. Now you have a situation in which the people are going to be happy. Right? And the people are going to be happy because the tkufa is off. So if the tkufa is off, it means that the winter months and the cold and the rain are far down the line, and therefore they'll be able to be Mekayim the Mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel in a period of time where there's no problem of great rains. Oh, Dilma. Now, what's the second side? Alat kufa lechudei ma'avram. You see how Rashi adds that word lechudei, that in and of itself, that's sufficient reason for Iver Shana. U'mipnei she'ibura min haTorah. Oh, this is interesting. Rashi says that why is the Iver such an important factor? And therefore, and Rashi says, because the Ibur is a Torah requirement. Again, we're going to, I'm sorry, that the Tkufa is a Torah requirement, which generates a requirement of Ibur. And again, that's the sugya that Rashi is referring to here on Daf Yud Gimel, that the Tkufa will determine the Chag HaPesach and the Chag HaSukkos. Is therefore also Rav Shimon Gamliel Miflig. Rav Shimon Gamliel argues with the Tanakhama, holding that Tkufa alone, since it's Doraisa, would be enough to justify Ibur Hashana. Now, what do the Chachamim say about this? That I told you, I don't know. Tet Zayin. And he says the following. That the Mefarshim are bothered by the fact that Aviv is also Minatov. You remember that this agricultural description of the maturation of the Tvua was something that Rashi derived from a Pasuk. So how does Rashi here say, well, no, Tkufa is Doraisa, implying that Aviv is not Doraisa. Aviv is also Minatora. Shetzarcha Shetisbashel Tvua Ad Chagapesa, Kmo Shenemar Shomeres Achodesh Aviv. Ukmochen Peres HaElon
Sarach min ha-Torah she-yivashlu ha-ratzeres kimosha nemar v'chag ha-kotzir b'kurei ma-secha. Okay, that's not crystal clear in Rashi, because Rashi quoted the Shleparai over here of coming back and forth. V'alkein pirshu ba-ofen achir sh'atam she-yish lo v'shal ha-tkufa levado ma-avrim es-ashon mishum she-yifshor. So again, according to Rashi, the reason why Rabbi Shimon Gamliel insists that the tekufa itself would justify the ibur is because it's min haTorah. That pshat we cannot uphold. So we have to find a different pshat. What makes tekufa so critical? And he says mishum shi efshal litos b'chesh min haTekufa. So it's crystal clear. We know exactly what the four tekufas are, what dates they fall on. And then we can determine whether or not Sukkot is in its proper time, whether or not Pesach is in its proper time. Aval aviv uperos yecholim litos sheyizbru shelo yizbashlu kol tzarkom ana Pesach. Now they're already anticipating that by Pesach there won't be a situation of ripening, and we don't know that for sure. And it could be that they'll make a mistake. So therefore, we don't feel secure being ma'abed the shana based on something that could be iffy, that might entail a mistake. Ubiyad Ramakos of Shatam, Sheesh Labras Hashon al Tkufal of Ador, Meyakashat Kufa hi ha ikar, Vienz Maneo Mishtanim, Vea Oviva Peres Ilin Nigrorim Achreel Barova Shonim. That's what I claimed before, that the agricultural situation also reflects the Tkufos. He says, "V'ein makdimim o ma'achrim el b'miut shonim." Ah, he says that he admits that there are occasional years, but somewhat rare, shebehem agshavim merubim, that there's so much rain coming down that even though it doesn't coincide, let's say, with tkufas, let's call it tkufas Tishrei, and there's a vast volume of rain coming down, or for example mu'atim in aragil, that maybe even if it's tkufas teves, it's still less rain than we normally get. Shrayom anu ma'avrim ashav. Oh, now he quotes Hillel. He says hayom anu ma'avrim ashonim rak lefi chesben shnos hachama v'yafal pisha rov hashonim chalim aviv haperes ilam bizmanam. The Afal Pikein, he says, even though we determine the Ibur Shana simply because of the solar calendar, which means the Tkufos, and we don't consider the elements of the agriculture, whether the fruit and the grains have matured, he says, Barov Hashanim, in most cases, he's implying that there are exceptions, is Chalim Aviv Uperas Ha'ilim Bizmanam. Lefichach min aroy li avra la tkufa levadom v'lo ala aviv operas ilan levadom. I think he's implying what you said before, Joseph, that Hillel reflects this shita of Rav Shimon Gamliel, that tkufa alone is sufficient for Ibur Hashanah, and that's how he builds the calendar. Lefichach min aroy la aver ala tkufa levadom. Then he says that since all three are min haTorah, Madua ema Abram al kol echad min asimon bifnei atzmo shekula min haTorah. Right, so we have Aviv is min haTorah because it says that this month is going to be what Shmaras haChodesh haAviv, and Elon is min haTorah because it says Chag haKotzer b'kurei ma'asecha, and certainly Tkufa is min haTorah. That's Gemara's going to have all those drushes. He says v'tireis setamim sosrim zente. Kigon im ma'abrim ashona ala aviv tahaynu shlo nisbash la tfu ad chag ha-pesach u'ma'abrim ashona kidei l'kayim ha-mikro b'chodesh ha-aviv ach mi'idov peros ha-ilon hoyu asidim levaker ad chag ha-sukas v'yata shemachus ashona zman ha-bikurim yukdom l'chodesh iyar. Right, the holiday of Shavuos is in Sivan. Now, once you add another month to the year, then what's going to happen is that the Zman HaBikurim yukdam. So why is that a problem?
It doesn't have a date. It's 50 days from Karan Yomer, isn't it? It doesn't have a... The Raisa in the Torah, it doesn't say Shavuos is on a particular day. It just says 50 days.
Right, right. But what we're saying is that, let's say we have to count 50 days after Pesach, correct? That's going to lead us to the Chodesh Sivan. And he's saying now that as a result of the addition of the extra month of Adar, it's going to turn out that the fruits are going to mature very early relative to Chodesh Sivan. What's the problem? You know, you would say Adarav, that's even better. It's certainly Chag HaBikurim. He says in Cain, Einam Eskaim HaMikro B'Chag HaBikurim. What does it mean B'Chag HaBikurim? Shekshem Shekpita Torah Al Ichur Zman Avshola Satvua Vaperos. Notice that the fruit should not mature too late, because that would not make it Chag HaKotzir Bikure Masecha. Is Kach Ekpida Torah Al Hakdomosam, that there shouldn't be a mature maturation of the fruits way, way before Chag HaShavuos, before Atzeres. So Alkein Ein La'Avros Hashanah Mipnei Tam Echad Kevin Sheyesh Tam Kenegdo Rak Biofen Sheyesh Shnei Tamim Keneged Echad Bozei Yesh La'Hadiv Shnei Tam La'Avros Hashanah. Very complicated. This is the Yad Ramah. Basically, it just Begadol, as we say, just from Chafif, you know, on the surface level, what the Yad Ramah is claiming is that if you only have one simon and not the other, then you're stuck in a conflict between the two simon. So, for example, if you have a problem of aviv, which means the grains, and that's going to cause you to add another month, then what's going to happen is the Peres HaElon are going to ripen prematurely vis-a-vis the holiday of Bikur, of Chag HaBikur. So you're stuck in a conflict. So we're going to only be Ma'arav the Shon if we have two out of the three. And even though the third might be in conflict with the two, but he says, Achirav Lahatis, you know, it's a Bezdin Noter. We can paskin based on two out of three. Okay, I'm just giving you a taste of what's going on. All right. We're talking about Aviv, and we're talking about Peros HaElon, the agricultural element in the Chishuv of Iber Shana, and we divide up the land of Israel into three parts. Ma'avrim es Hashana, Yehuda ve'Evar Yarden va'Golil, al shtayim ein me'avrim v'al achas me'en ein ma'avrim. So if, let's say, for example, if there was no maturation of Tvu and Ilanos in Yehuda, but in Golil and Evar Yarden, two out of the three, they have the maturation already, they've achieved that, then they would not be Ma'avad Shana, because then you're left with only Yehuda. But if Lo Nisbashlu, neither in Golil nor in Evar Yarden, even if Nisbashlu and Yehuda, they would be Ma'avad. Then the Brisa says, "Ubizman she'eretz Yehuda achas mihen." In other words, if there was no bishul hatvua in Yehuda, hakol smechem, everyone's happy. Why? She'ein omer ba elam Yehuda. The omer has to be taken. Again, this is not likuva, but if possible, we would take the bali for the omer from Eretz Yehuda. So why is that called Hakol Smechem? So he says the following. Again, you'll see this all in Rashi, but I'm just going to give you an overview of Rashi. In Ibru Beznes Hashana, Ad Shalom Nisbashla Tvua B'Yehuda. So it means that the grains in Yehuda have not yet ripened. Is Yecholim Hayu Lahavi Misham Es Minchas HaOmer Li'achar Shetisbashla Tvua. Right, by adding an extra month, giving the grains time to mature in Yehuda, now we're going to be able to bring those grains, you know, a sheaf of barley for the Omer. If you only have the other two factors, but as far as the uh, as
as Aviv, meaning of Bishul HaTvua in Yehuda, it's already Mevushal way before you added the month. Now when you add the month, they would not be able to bring the Omer from Yehuda. Why is that? Because until the time of the Omer, the grains already dried up, and they're not roy l'minchas haOmer. So the Torah says Carmel tik takriv. The Torah in the parashah of the Omer at the beginning of Vayikra says Carmel. Carmel means rach umale. Rach means it's got to be soft. But wait a minute, it already matured a month ago. It's not going to be soft a month down the line when you're ready to bring the Omer. We'll have to, we have no choice but to bring the Omer from Yehuda, excuse me, from Eivar Yarden or from Galil. And that's not the perfect, ideal way of bringing the Omer. Tana Rabbanan, we'll finish with this. Eima Abrim Es Hashanim Ela B'Yehuda. In other words, where was the Beis Din Kavua? Where did they set up a permanent Beis Din, the Beis Din HaGadol? That was in the area of Yehuda. So the Yad Ramah asks the fine question, why do you mention Yehuda? If you want to identify the Beis Din HaGadol, and they and only they have the power and the authority to be Ma'abed Shani, you should have mentioned Yerushalayim. Why do they mention Yehuda? He doesn't give an answer to that question. But Yehuda here means Yerushalayim. In Ibrua Bagalil, what happens if they went ahead and they were Ma'abed the Shana outside of Yerushalayim? In Galil, is Me'uberes. According to the Chachamim, we're going to soon see Rabbi Yehuda disagrees, then post facto b'dieved, this Ibur is valid. Okay. Heid Chananya ish onoshim ibrua begolil enamu beres. Om Rabbi Yehuda Breid Rav Shim Ben Pasi, my time in the Chananya ish ono, di omar kra, lishikhno sidrishu, uvasa shoma, kol drisha shatadoresh, lo yu, ela bishikhno shalmakom, meaning in Yerushalayim, which is called the shikhno shalmakom. So according to Chananya, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the requirement of Yerushalayim is an absolute critical requirement. Now, according to the Chachamim, in an ideal situation, where is the Ibur Shana going to take place? In Yerushalayim, correct? That's the ideal. But the fallback position would be even in Eivar Yarden or in Golan. So there's Gemara in Yevamos about Rabbi Akiva that says Rabbi Akiva was Ma'abar Shana in Narda. Now where is Narda? In Bavel. So that's nowhere in Eretz Yisrael. And until now we've been saying that the Chachamim allow for a fallback position of Ibur somewhere other than Yehuda, which could be Galil, but now we're talking about Narda. Hainu me'achar shahaya chacham gadol lo iniach kamoso the Eretz Yisrael. In other words, when the Beis Din HaGadol existed in Yerushalayim, they were called the Gadol, Chacham HaGadol. They were the greatest Chachamim of their generation. But it's not a din in Yerushalayim, it's a din in Chacham Gadol. Hence, if let's say you'd have a situation where there's no Chacham Gadol, or whatever chacham there are, but there are greater chachamim outside of Yerushalayim, and for that matter, even in Chutz Lartz, in Bavel, then you could be Ma'arav L'Shana in Bavel. Now the Gemara darshins the pasuk of L'Shichno Sidrishu Basa Shama, and that's going to teach us that you must have the Beis Din HaGadol in Yerushalayim, the Makom HaShechina, for Ibur HaShana. The Gemara in Brachos derives this same conclusion as Algamar from a different pasuk in Yeshayahu. It says Ki Mitzion Teitzei Sora. So if you look at Tosfos Divrei Maskil Ein, he's going to address this question. So I think it's getting late, so we'll stop here. Let's just see where we're up to. We're really still in the thick of it, because now we want to know if Ibur Shana could be valid even at night. Bezdin cannot sit at night, and what if the Bezdin sat and was Ma'arba the Shona at night? So that Bli Neder will pick up tomorrow. Okay then?
Obviously did a lot of work last night.
Now if anyone's interested, specifically Reuven, if you're interested, I really need time to learn Mishnah Berurah, Hilchos, Tisha B'Av Shachal, B'Shabbos. Because this Motzei Shabbos, we have a lot of different dinim about when you take your shoes off and when you make Havdalah and all sorts of issues. So I, you know, if anybody wants to join me for a little bit of Mishnah Berurah action, so you're certainly invited to do so.